Delene Braze reporting for duty. Fasten your seatbelt and hold on to your carrots. You're about to enter Delene Braze throwdown zone. Accelerating for the simple solutions, we are Avengers of Health. Hide the donuts. You're listening to Delene Braze radio show at DeleneBraze.com. Welcome, Braze. I'm Ron Jones with Kevin Rail from the Lean Braze, and we're talking about foot fitness today, foundational foot fitness and how to have fun with your feet while running, possibly unshod or with some of the new minimalist shoes out there. And, you know, there's a lot of information now coming out about foot fitness and running barefoot, and is it good, is it bad, is it trend, is it a fad, is it bonk and bogus? And Kevin Rail's on the show with me today. To get to the bottom of it like we do as loyal Lean Braze. So welcome, Kevin.
Well, thank you, RJ. And you're absolutely right about all of the, you know, latest trends and stuff going on. Barefoot running is probably one of the highest right now, I would say, from what I've been noticing.
Absolutely.
And yes, there's a lot of question marks out there. And as Lean Braze, we have to do the dirty work for everybody. So you know, we try to keep things in grade two mentality. And we're going to try to keep it real today and give an explanation of our take on the situation. And RJ and I both give it two thumbs up. And myself, I've been pretty addicted to barefoot running over the past year and a half. And it all started several years ago when I saw RJ walking along the beach with these weird-looking, I don't know what to call them, on his feet. Kind of like socks with toes in them. Looked like gloves for the feet.
The Vibram Five Fingers, man. Yeah. The Vibram Five Fingers, man.
The Vibram Five Fingers.
The lizard shoes, as some of my clients like to call them. You know,
yeah.
We actually, you know, if you're just listening for the first time, you know, Lean Braze, the purpose for our shows is really to get general information out there that inspires people to be, you know, physically active and eat better food. It's that simple, right? And we don't usually get too much into technicalities, but we're going to get a little more into that today because Kevin and I actually have a lot of experience and stories we can tell you about barefoot running and shoes. It's something that I've been working on for a lot of years now, and I've got some published things that are starting to come out actually just in the last couple months. But before we go any further, there's some breaking news, Kevin. I promise we talk about in the show today. The Hostess company filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They're in trouble again financially. That means the ding-dongs are possibly going to the firing squad along with the Twinkies.
Nice. I slept like a baby last night knowing that.
Well, there's all these people lamenting about it, but you know what? One of the, on a more serious note, one of the issues the company is having is the health care cost of the employees. So if they're eating the food they're making, I can definitely see that relationship.
Because
they have contributed to the obesity and diabetes crisis in America, for sure. But anyway, to get back to the foot fitness, I just had to mention that. So
that's always good news during a Friday.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, RJ.
Yes, it pumped me up when I saw that. Now, you know, one of the questions that Kevin and I get a lot is why go barefoot? And that's one of the big topic areas I know you wanted to address, Kevin. You know, when you're doing your barefoot stuff, you've had people stop you on the road and like, what the hell are you doing? You know, you're running down Pennsylvania in no shoes.
All places, which I might add is a shockingly good place to train barefoot on, because I'm pretty sure, I don't know if this is an exact, don't quote me on this, is an exact study or something, but I believe that Northeast PA roads are like the worst in the whole United States. They're definitely in the top 10. I think I saw that in a magazine somewhere once.
Yeah, the chip
seal
stuff.
And the roads, I trained on those roads. It's basically where I taught myself how to run barefoot. And I think that made me, that progressed my learning curve, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because it can take anywhere from 6 months to 2 years to go from like shod to unshod. When we say shod, that means wearing shoes to no shoes.
Yeah.
So it's not like snap your finger and you're running barefoot. There's a process involved, which we'll get into in a minute.
Yeah, those are the.
But I think those rough roads definitely helped me.
Yeah, there are a lot of safety issues with going barefoot and how to make that transition. We'll touch on that a little bit today. But generally, here's the bottom line for everyone that is getting into this and doesn't quite understand it. The over-engineered shoes have actually made things worse and not better. So we've been sold up the river and duped and buffaloed and BS'd into thinking that, you know, if we buy a $130 pair of motion control shoes, everything's going to be great. But the research we're reading now is showing that the more engineering you have in the shoes, the more problems you're going to have, and maybe even potential injuries developing just because of the shoes. So I firmly believe, and Kevin does too, and we've felt this on our own and seen it in real people, is that when you believe in your feet first, good things are going to happen, and you need to get the shoes out of the way of the feet. So
yeah.
The whole idea of going barefoot or with what's called minimalist shoes, which are really typically they're thinner soles that are very flexible, is that your feet start getting in better shape. They start feeling the ground better, and if they can get better feedback off the ground, then you're going to move better. And that can help you with ankle problems and knee problems and back issues and safety and balance and gait and all kinds of stuff can happen better from the ground up if your feet are more fit. So that's why people are going barefoot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd like to add one more thing to the fancy schmancy $130 sneakers with all the padding and the fluff in the bottom and the air sacs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just think of this. Every time you land, it just really makes sense if you think about it. Every time your foot lands, even when you're walking or running, your foot impacts all that squishy, soft stuff in the bottom. So you think to yourself, great, I just bought this fancy schmancy great pair of shoes and I'm getting all this padding and protection in the bottom of my foot. But in theory, when your heel lands and hits all that squishy stuff, what do you think happens? Your heel and your whole body tends to like shimmy side to side, forward and backwards, because it lands on all that squishy, crappy stuff. So there's no stability there whatsoever. So all that instability causes your jacks up your ankle, jacks up your knee, and it just goes right up the whole kinetic chain, right up to the top of your head.
Right.
And that is what in turn causes the shin splints and the plantar fasciitis and the IT band syndrome, any kind of other complicated, long-winded, you know, injury that you may be prone to have from excess running and stuff like that.
Well,
all those things have been just like swept under the rug for years.
Yeah,
but it just makes total sense if you just break it down and think about it.
You mentioned all those conditions, and interestingly enough, when you look at tribal runners, like the Born to Run book by Christopher McDougall, he talks about the tribe in Mexico that they run in these little thin, like leather sandal things, you know, and they don't have all those conditions. They don't have the ACL issues, plantar fasciitis, shin splints, and all these things that Western runners tend to have wearing our fancy shoes. They don't seem to have that, or it's extremely minimal, right? So, you really, if you really get down to the basics, man, less is better. And that big air sole that you're banging your heel into enables us to run heel to toe, but in reality, we're not supposed to be running with a heel strike anyway. There's no padding on your heel. And just strip all the technology away and just look at the human body as it was designed to be in gait, right?
Yeah.
There is no padding in the heel. Your shock absorption is in the arch of your foot. And so really, you know, we're supposed to be running with a four midfoot strike, not a heel strike. You wouldn't run with a heel strike if you were barefoot. It hurt.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's a great point to make, RJ, because the skin is very thin on the calcaneus, as it's called.
Yeah, there's a little fat pad there. And Michael Sandler's book, Barefoot Running, does a great job explaining how that fat pad can actually build up a little bit when you're barefoot running, and you'll get a little more cushioning there because you do need some. But, you know,
right,
most of the shock absorption is not going to be in your heel. But the new modern shoes the last 20, 30 years enable us to do that, and that's when we started seeing the increases in injuries, you know.
Yeah.
Remember
the Nike
waffle shoes in the late 70s? You know, they had the huge wide heel and the big, thick padded, you know, and then that's when it all started to go downhill. But, yeah, they made a lot of money, you know.
I know. And let's talk a little bit about the progression into barefoot right now, RJ, because I get that question often, too.
Yeah.
People seem to think they can just go out and buy a pair of Vibram Five Fingers and magically start running barefoot. And I've known people that have really jacked themselves up doing that, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
And secondly, the Vibram Five Fingers have become somewhat of a trend. And, like, look at me, I'm cool, I wear Vibram Five Fingers, and I'm walking down the street strutting proudly like a peacock. And that kind of pisses me off. I'm sorry, because if you don't know what a Vibram Five Finger is designed for, don't buy it because you think it's cool and it's going to get you chicks, or vice versa. Because it ain't going to happen. And you're going to break your feet all to pieces. There's a reason why there's a progression, actually. The first thing you need to do is teach yourself. RJ mentioned the forefoot strike and the midfoot strike. So I'm going to shift gears and give the microphone back to you for a second. So let's talk about how you go from what would you say the first phase is? You know, you start out with your padded shoe, but you don't just like strip off your shoes and go running. Because what happens is over the years, when you have that heel lift on your shoe, your calf muscles become conditioned to a certain length because they're always hitting in that certain spot. So if you just rip off your shoes and start running barefoot, you have a very good chance of pulling calf muscle.
Yeah, right, OJ? Yeah, and the podiatrist would really want me to mention the safety issues of that. You know, if your foot is kind of used to being in a certain position and the bones are being aligned a certain way and then all of a sudden they're not and you take off, I mean, it can take some time to make that transition. And there is some validity to getting an orthotic to help with a temporary solution and some kind of transition work, although I think the orthotic thing is way out of balance and being overprescribed, and a lot of podiatrists, if they were honest, would say the same thing. But let's look at, you know, let's say the person listening, they want to start getting into the barefoot thing. You know, what's the first step? And I actually have a commercial podcast coming out for a publisher that's going to go into way more like technical detail with this, but I'll give you kind of the Lean Bray, as Kevin would say affectionately, the grade two mentality on this, right? Your first step is try to get some flexible shoes. You know, because until your feet can start feeling the ground and getting a little fit, you know, you might not need to be out running barefoot for a while. You know, so just going from a stiff shoe to a flexible shoe can be quite a challenge for some people. That alone can make your feet a little bit sore. So I've used the Nike Freeze a lot for clients, and they've worked really well. I've had people with chronic foot pain. They started wearing those shoes, and sometimes within a day or two, it's gone. So, you know, my first step, Kevin, is just getting people to, you know, wear flexible shoes that bend and twist down the center arch and not so stiff.
That's a good first step. And I actually take it one step further, slightly further. And I say to people, what you want to do is progressively go from your thick sole to a thinner sole to a thinner sole to a thinner sole.
Right.
As your main shoes, because then your foot can start adapting to the more being closer. Your heel can start adapting to being closer to the ground. And it won't be a shock to your calf muscles. They can progressively get stretched out.
Yeah.
And you're not going to rip anything. And you like you said, the Nike Freeze, that's a good example right there of the flexibility of the shoe, too, which we should cover that a little bit as well.
Yeah.
About how to test your shoe.
Yeah.
Make sure it's flexible.
Yeah, it should taco and twist. So if you fold the shoe up like a taco and then you twist it diagonally through the arch like a towel, that's a good, real simple check. Just grab the shoe off the shelf in the store. Make sure the packing's out of the middle of it so, you know, it does have the capability to bend if it can. Taco twist, see what happens. If it's stiff and it only bends at the metatarsal joints, which are the balls of the feet, then it's an old design and it's not going to be very foot friendly. Now, Kevin, you've mentioned the calf muscle being shortened quite a few times. Let's chop into that a little bit. So if you're wearing a heel lift, well, most people have some degree of heel lift in their shoes, almost all of us, right? So if you're wearing some heel lift, even with a typical running shoe is going to have a heel on it, you know, an inch and a half or so, inch to 2 inches, somewhere in there. And that is going to chronically shorten your Achilles tendon and the calf on the backside of your leg. So one of the things with barefoot running is when you take the shoe completely off, you're getting a lot of stretch there. And you want to be really careful of just taking off and running if you're not used to stretching that out all the way. You can actually rupture your Achilles tendon. Sometimes the first time you go running, you know, if you don't make this transition. So what I have people do, Kevin, is just get their shoes off and walk around the house for a while barefoot. They start doing that, you know, after work, and they do that a few weeks, and their feet kind of get used to not having a shoe support, and it wakes up the nerves in the feet, and they start laying down some foundational foot fitness and strength from the ground up. And it helps them with the transition, but from an economy standpoint, you know, that Achilles tendon by design is a propulsion component, right? So it's like a super rubber band that stretches and snaps back. And if you're walking around with a heel lift, you're not getting the full benefit and economy per stride out of that Achilles tendon, meaning that, you know, if that thing does what it's supposed to do, it's going to be a lot easier for you to run and walk. But a heel lift takes the Achilles out of the equation to some degree.
Yeah, it compromises your full range of motion.
Yeah, so I've known people that haven't been educated on this, and they just rushed right into it, and you know they see everybody wearing the Vibram Five Fingers or running around barefoot, so they think, well, hey, you know, I'll just do it and I'm good to go. Well, that's not the case, and boom, they're injured, and sometimes severely So it's not something to take lightly. I mean, there's a lot of validity to getting your feet connected with the ground and improving the fitness of your feet, but that doesn't mean that you should take your shoes off and just hit the road.
Yeah.
You know, and
I
had one person, you know, they were frustrated because their time went down the first day they tried to run in the Vibram. It's like, well, you know, don't expect to run the same speed. You have to get used to running with a different strike. And that's another thing. Some people get into the Vibrams and they keep trying to heel strike.
Yeah.
And now the padding's gone and then they're banging the crap out of their knees and their back. So, you know, you really need to think about changing your stride back to what's more natural, not what you've been taught to do with a engineered running shoe. That can take some time. There are some people out there that teach running, like Qi running instructors. You know, they're really good at that. You know, the kind of forward lean. And you can get Michael Sandler's book, which is a pretty good read, called Barefoot Running.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Then you'll go more into the running specifics. But, you know, that's why people are running barefoot and what the advantages are. You get that Achilles back in there. It's going to give you a lot more economy. And it's not going to be as hard to run. And you're going to get more fit. I mean, Kevin, you know, you started out with traditional running shoes. I've been amazed at what you've been able to do with true barefoot running. I guess we should talk about, you know, running with a Vibram five finger or minimalist shoe, even with a thin sole, is not the same as barefoot running. You shouldn't be calling barefoot running if you're running with something on your feet, because it's not, right?
Exactly. It's two different worlds. We touched on what you can kind of do to get started. Walk around the house barefoot, get yourself a good flexible shoe, get a thin sole. I personally like Converse All-Stars and Chuck Taylor's. They're a great flexible shoe. They're inexpensive. They're stylish. And they have a very thin sole. They work great as a running shoe if you're transitioning into the barefoot thing. And I basically went to that. And then I just kind of skipped the whole next step, which would be your Vibram five finger. Basically, the Vibram five finger is one step before barefoot.
Right.
So you want to go like thinner sole, Vibram five finger, barefoot. That's ultimately what you want to do.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I chose to skip the whole Vibram thing because I was saving myself some money, and I'm like, I didn't want to get caught. Back in PA, it was a pretty trendy thing, and everyone thought they were hot shots walking around with them, and I didn't want to be categorized as one of those dudes. So I just skipped it all together, and I said, screw it, I'm going barefoot. And then I just did it. But, of course, I learned proper running mechanics first, and that you want to do when you have your regular stupid squishy shoe on. And like RJ said earlier, it's forefoot strike first. And when we say forefoot, the bottom of your foot has what's called, it's called the foot tripod. You have three bones. You have your calcaneus, which is your heel, and then you have the metatarsals, which are the balls of the feet. And what you want to do is you want to aim more so for the metatarsals to hit first and then your heel. Very lightly on the heel every time you land. Now, this takes practice. So if you just go barefoot and try it, you're probably going to jack yourself up. That's why you want to go progressively into it. And that's called forefoot striking. So, like RJ said, once you do this, your muscles in the bottom of your feet and the even the bones themselves start to remodel, and they get stronger and they get tougher. And that is why, that's where the true benefits really start coming into play.
Yeah,
that's where your balance improves and you get the full range of motion, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, I think the message we want to give out, you know, because we're doing this show on this topic. Because we think it's going to help people generally with exercise. Because one of the things that Kevin and I have noticed working with people in the training end of fitness is that a lot of people have foot pain. Well, if your feet are hurting, you're not as likely to exercise. So if we can help you with your feet today, we believe you'll be more physically active, and that's a whole Lean Bray credo, right? We want people to move and eat well. So, you know, just getting back to keeping it really simple, you know, want to try to help you with your feet so you can do more. And if your feet are more fit, you're gonna do more better. Right. So, and Kevin, you've spent way more time on true, authentic barefoot running than I have. I've done a lot of research. I've helped people a lot with their feet, but you know, with my travel schedule, it's really hard for me to run every day. And you were more locked into the discipline of that, and because of that, you've went way beyond where I've ever been with barefoot running, to the point of running on those chip seal roads in Pennsylvania, and I mean, I don't think I could even walk on those things, let alone run on them. I can run barefoot on some concrete and around the pavement in my house. The pavement's pretty new here, but put me on old pavement that's kind of gritty and with some exposed pebbles, and I just wouldn't be able to handle it with true, like, barefoot running skin right in the ground. But You know, what, how many months did it take from you to go to take your shoes off and you're going to start walking with skin in the ground to actually running on those rough roads? I mean, what was the transition time on that?
I would say about, I'd say about 6 months.
Six months. Yeah. And that was, you were really hitting it, you know, religiously every week, not every day, but you know, you were working on it on a weekly basis with increments, right?
Yes. And another thing that helped me out a lot is I started just doing all my workouts barefooted as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that, you know, basically the bottom line is try to be as barefoot as much as you can every single day of the week, every hour of the day, where you can, you know, if you can walk around the house all day barefoot, do it. If you can walk around outside, run errands barefoot, do it. If you can drive your car barefoot, do it. Basically just be barefoot every chance you have. If you have to go to the post office, bring a pair of shoes with you, walk up to the door barefoot, slide them on, walk in, take them off, and you come out. Literally.
This is hardcore. I mean, this is hardcore. Barefoot throwdown, man.
I mean, that's how I did it last year. I mean, I did that for like 8 months.
Okay.
As soon as it started getting warm last year when spring broke, that's how I did it. And I think that's another reason why I progressed so quickly, because your feet start to adapt fast when you start recognizing things.
Yeah.
You start feeling the ground differently.
Yeah, you went way more into it than I did. I do most of my workouts will be barefoot. You know, if I'm training in the garage with the Indian clubs, kettlebells, you know, Olympic weights, you know, I'll try to be barefoot. I must say, you know, if I look back at my career over a decade, you know, I mean, 20 years or so in fitness at a competitive level, if I add all my competition into it, this is the only thing I've ever done a 180 spin on, meaning when I first got into the business, I had a completely different position on shoes and barefoot training than I do now. It's the only thing that I've completely went the other direction on. Yeah, because I usually study things for a long time and I look at them pretty carefully, and I don't go down roads that are bogus. You know, I'm pretty careful about what I support and recommend and do with myself and other people. But I got to tell you, you know, when I first got into this, it was you've got to spend $75 on a running shoe, and you know, if you're pronating, you need pronation control, and you might need an orthotic, and never, ever, ever work out without your shoes on because that's not safe. What's really interesting is I know if people are working out barefoot, they're safer because they can feel the ground better, and they're going to get more safe as their feet get more fit. And that's so different than when I started.
Yeah, it makes sense, too, that it would be different.
Yeah, and there are still issues with liability. If you go into a commercial gym, and, you know, they've got people on treadmills with pinch points and stuff, so I understand a commercial gym, you know, having some kind of foot requirement depending on where you're at in the gym. But the corporate gyms, you know, that I'm helping with now, we have people that are working out barefoot, and that's fine. We don't let them get on the treadmills and the cardio-type equipment without some kind of shoe covering. And I'm okay with that. But in terms of, you know, being out on the floor and doing strength training and stuff, a lot of us are now barefoot. So, you know, we've covered why, you know, it's important to walk and run barefoot to wake up those nerves and give you more control off the ground, basically. We've talked about the heel lift and why it should be low or minimal or, you know, non-existent to get your Achilles into it. We've talked about shoes getting in the way of feet, and we need to get them out of the way of feet. But how else, if you're going to have to wear a shoe and you've already got a low heel, another thing to think about is the toe box. And that's something you wanted to mention, Kevin, getting shoes wide enough so your toes can kind of grasp the ground and do their job to stabilize.
Absolutely. And don't buy into the myth that your shoes should be all like locked up tight and super snug and, you know, two or three knots on the tops. That's the worst thing you can do. You want your foot to be comfortable in your shoe and snug, but slightly loose, if anything else.
Right.
So that will allow your toes to expand and move around and wiggle and stuff like they're supposed to. And when you constrict them really tight in the shoe, it's all compact in there. Your toes are all jacked up, and that's a big contributor to bunions as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, toes are very important and often overlooked. You know, toes are there to stabilize that upright vertical column. And if they're boxed in, they can't do that job. So, you know, they're actually meant to grasp. And there's a term called prehensile foot. And a prehensile foot, prehensile defined means to grasp. So that's your toe's job, is to grasp the ground and kind of root in or claw into the ground to stabilize that big column. You know, we're the only animals that walk upright. No other animal on the planet walks completely upright. So because of that, our feet are even more important. We don't have four on the ground. We don't have a low center of gravity. We're very tall columns on a very narrow base of support. So those toes have a huge job. And shoes should not be foot coffins. You know, a lot of people, they bind their feet because sexually it's more attractive in a Western culture. We want a narrow foot. We want a short foot. You know, women want to, like, their toes are all crammed into a pointy high heel that's got a, you know, it's an elevated heel. So now your foot's also sliding down into the toe box. And you know, you can deform those toes over time. And you know, some ladies end up having to have a surgery. And I've known a lot of clients, Kevin, that have had foot surgeries. I don't know one single one that has had a foot surgery that some other kind of problem didn't develop. You know, the foot is really intricate. It's got a lot of nerves in it and a lot of bones and a lot of joints. And I'm telling you, you start cutting into the foot and realigning it surgically, and you're probably going to have some other kind of problem developing as well. That, you know, so it's like never ending, you know. Once you start going in there, it doesn't seem to get much better. So if we can work with the foot before we get to the point of having to have a surgery, you know, that's optimal, right? And then it's amazing what people can do with their feet.
Yeah. And I want to add a little more to the root thing you mentioned before. I love the word root. It's such a good word to use to describe it. You automatically think ground, and you think of, like, roots growing in the ground. And when you exercise barefooted, when you do, like, the, like RJ was saying, kettlebells, eating clubs, conventional weight training, whatever you want to do, it's much safer than wearing shoes, if you ask me. If you're doing a clean press, for example, and you jack this heavy barbell above your head, you're wearing shoes, and your feet and your toes are boxed in a tight shoe, and your heels are lifted on a spongy surface, your stability is going to be all over the place. If your feet are bare, you're really going to be able to dig your toes in and root and grasp tightly onto the ground and increase your force production. And it's going to help you all the way through. It's going to help you develop better muscles. It's going to help your stability, and it's going to reduce your risk for injury. And I'm frustrated with the fact that the gym I'm going to now does not allow me to wear bare feet out on the floor. And they're like, oh, it's a hazard, I'm told. And I'm like, well, that's great. So if I wear a fluffy shoe, which has 1/4 inch of padding on top of my toes, and I drop a dumbbell on it, I'm not going to break my foot. Is that what you're telling me? I'm like, come on. It's just like, be careful. That's the bottom line. You drop a friggin' dumbbell on your foot, you're going to break it.
Well, doesn't
matter if you have a shoe on or not.
If
you don't have a shoe, you can move quicker and try to dodge it.
Yeah. People know what they know, and they don't know what they don't know. And so a lot of this is, you know, let's just look at the science and the physics of it, right? And cut out all the other fluff and the BS and the hype. You get your foot fit, you're going to be safer, right? Bottom line.
Yeah.
There are some issues with pinch points and things like that. So if you're on cardio equipment, things like that, I understand that. There could be some restricted areas, and I'm okay with that. You know, you've got to pick your foot fitness battles. But just to say, you know, when we have all this research and all this development and the trend, it's not really a fad. I mean, I think it's a trend, which means it's here to stay and it's going to keep developing, right, as we get more and more science and more success with this, is not to ignore that, but to embrace it and make some changes, make some process improvements that are going to help people get more fit from the ground up, rather than just say, well, you know, that's the way I was taught. Well, I was taught never to take your shoes off in the gym, but I've completely reversed that and been humbled by the amazing foot, you know?
And I've
seen it in real time with clients I work with that have had horrific foot pain for over 10 years, and literally you make the right kind of changes with them, in 1 to 2 days, they're completely different people. And if you would have told me that 10 years ago, I said, no way. But I've seen it now in front of my eyes, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get into the fluff shoes, man. I want to talk these toning shoes, man. They need to go to the firing squad. You know, and you know, these companies have made millions of dollars off these shoes and ripping people off. I'm going to tell you right now. You want a butt like J-Lo, you're not going to get it from wearing those Skecher toning shoes. All right? You're going to have to be working your glutes a lot harder than that. And what I've seen, Kevin, is the people that wear those toning shoes, they take bad foot posture and bad biomechanics, and they're amplified in those shoes. They're really thick soles, which is a dead giveaway. They're not going to be foot friendly. They're stiff as hell. Yeah, they're stiff. Your feet can't feel jack in those shoes, right?
No.
And they're hard to walk on. And the whole hard to walk on is, well, it'll make your booty work harder. Yeah, and you're going to cave your knees in the process. I mean, they're just bad news, and some of them are $250.
I know.
You know? So one thing we've learned about foot fitness is that just, you know, taking your shoes off doesn't automatically correct your foot posture, nor does putting on a $250 pair of toning shoes. You know, you've got to be educated to know, like, how should my foot just stand on the ground without moving? That foot tripod position Kevin mentioned, kind of like a 3 points of contact, your heels in the ground, the ball of the foot behind the big toe, and then the, you know, over on the side pinky toe area, there's another little triangular area there. And that's kind of a tripod, so your foot shouldn't be all collapsed and pronated when you're just standing in the ground. That alone has, you know, healed some foot pain, Kevin, and some ankle issues with some of my people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, take that into your gait. So anyway, I had to throw that out because I get a lot of questions on the toning shoes. I've got a ton of marketing money into that, but it's bogus, man. Get the shoes out of the way of your feet. You can't fix your feet with shoes. That's the bottom line, you know.
Sure.
You've got to work with the nerves in your feet, and then good things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Plus, I'll tell you something else. You know, in the world of the RKC, the kettlebell folks, if you're doing kettlebells with those aerosol shoes, that's a big no-no, man. I mean, there's some people that would send you to the firing squad as an instructor for allowing that to happen, you know, because you know, you've got these what's called force leaks, you know, the line of force you're, you know, trying to send to the ground and back up is like Kevin mentioned earlier in the show, it's not stable there. It's leaking out left to right, and you can actually, you know, end up hurting your ankles by wearing these fluffy shoes, you know?
So, I automatically know if someone is legit or not when they're swinging or doing a kettlebell exercise by looking at their feet. I don't pay attention to anything above the ankles until I look at the feet.
Yeah.
If they got a barefoot, even 5 finger or less, I'm like, okay, they're legit. If they have anything other than that, if they have a fluff, if I see a fancy gel-like padding, I don't even, like, that's a shame.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first thing you should ever learn going to a kettlebell class is learn about the feet first.
Yeah, and if you wear something like a Chuck Taylor, it's got a solid sole on it. They're flexible, but there's no sponginess in them, right? That's a good shoe to train in too. You can wear a Chuck Taylor. I've got some Nike shoes that they're some kind of court shoes. They're very flexible, but they've got a solid sole. You know, those are I can root into the ground. Like I can put force in those shoes, and there's no squishiness. I mean, I'm gonna get a good root into it. Power lifters will wear Chuck Taylors. If they're going to do a huge deadlift or power clean type movement, they want to drive that force straight into the ground and have that force come straight back up. So you'll see them wear Chuck Taylors or thin sole type shoes as well.
Wrestling shoes too sometimes.
Wrestling shoes, yeah. A lot of folks are into you know, wrestling type shoes because it, you know, they can. There's no force leak. There's no squishiness. It goes right into the ground and comes right back up.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about the shoe thing. I mean, there's definitely a trend now with shoe manufacturers. This is going to be a huge multi-billion-dollar business going to more foot-friendly shoes. All the major sports shoe companies are gearing up for this. You're seeing lots of flexible shoes coming out. You're seeing all kinds of minimalist shoes coming out. Vibram was the first out of the gate, so to speak. But now there are other toe-type shoes available as well. And I wear for the minimalist shoes that don't have the like separate toe pockets, I wear the New Balance Trail Minimus. That's a pretty good shoe. It's got a very slight amount of heel lift on it, very, very short in the heel area, very flexible, pretty good shoe. I've got a lot of people wearing those, are pretty happy with them. Merrell's Trail Glove is another one that's out. Although... I'll say that the trail glove has a lot of motion control into the sole of the shoe. I was a little disappointed by that. And, you know, people usually think of motion control, Kevin, as like a pronation control where one side of the heel is stiffer so you don't sag into the center of your arch. But there's a lot of motion control that can be built into the actual tread design as well. So if you see all these squiggly lines and things like that, that's all motion control. And a true minimalist shoe won't have that. They're just going to have a little traction surface that's pretty uniform throughout the whole sole of the shoe. But they're not going to have all these lines channeling your foot into a certain direction, because the nerves in your feet are supposed to figure that out, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those, you know, being forced to do something with your foot or your anatomy some way, shape, or form, but that's just me.
Yeah, and, you know, in my new footwork book that I just put out, I mentioned this quite a few times, you know, get the shoes out of the way of your feet. Let your feet decide what your body needs to do. I need to mention my workbook too, Kevin, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't you give your workbook a plug, because I was a editor for this workbook.
Yeah.
And I would like to add that it's fantastic. It's a quick read. It shouldn't take you very long, but it's got so much good information on it, you're probably going to want to read it a couple times. Because a lot of the stuff in there is going to, we covered a lot of very interesting material today with the whole barefooting theory and concept, but Ron goes into a little more detail on, you know, how to get into, you know, the stages of going from wearing shoes to not wearing shoes, and how to figure out right what kind of shoes to wear when you're going down through the process. And it gets a little more technical, and it's very good, it's very informative, but yet it's still understandable if you're in second grade. It happened to have flunked quite a few times.
Yeah, well, so, that's our whole thing, is keep it simple, right? So
yeah, well, how can people get the workbook?
Well, it's on my personal website, so that's ronjones.org, and you'll see a link there for it. You can pick it up as a PDF for about $15, and I just got my conversion files back today, so it's going to be in the Kindle library. It's going to be available for the iPad. I have another digital type file that I have to make for that application, so those will be posted soon. I've got a commercial podcast coming out where I basically track through the whole workbook in an audio MP3 file for a publisher I'm working with, and they're going to announce that website soon. There are a lot of us around the country that are fitness experts, have contributed certain subject matter and materials to the podcast, and we're developing this website together. And so my first submittal was on foot fitness. And,
that sounds like fun. It sounds like a kind of like an audio book type thing.
Yeah, it's titled "Health from the Ground Up: A Practical Guide to Understanding Feet, Ankles, and Shoes." It's about 56 pages long. It's set up like a glossary, so from A to Z, you can look up a topic, you can read it cover to cover if you want, or if you just want to, you know, go to, you know, I want to read about what Ron was talking about in the show with Kevin on this. Traction on the soles of the shoes, you know, what's the motion control thing with the soles of the shoes, you know, and the tread design, you can just read that section. So it's I think it's easy to read and it's informative, but the first step, if you really want to get into barefoot running, I think Kevin, people have to be educated, because they're getting hurt doing something because
help.
Of lack of education, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's a good point. If any of you out there have any questions about barefoot running, please consult the Lean Berets. You can reach me at krail@wellcoaches.com, or you can just go right to our website. You can find our contacts there, and Ron already gave his email address. And if any of you crazy people out there want to ever, you know, go for a barefoot run, look me up. I'm in Park City, Utah right now. I'm not hard to find. Look me up online. You'll find me somehow.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you.
That's cool.
I'm always looking for running partners and people to you know, get into the mind frame of barefooting as well, because it really is fun once you get doing it after a while.
Yeah, and I offered some other resources in my workbook, some people that have taught me a lot. You know, Michael Sandler's book is a great read. If you really want to get into true barefoot running and you're serious about it, get Michael Sandler's book. It's simply called Barefoot Running, and it's a fun read. He's got some other stuff in there about nutrition and different things, but if you really focus on the foot part of it, you'll learn a ton of stuff, helpful information. He's got workshops coming out where he's going to be teaching people how to run. He's done a book tour. I had the chance to see him at Adventure 16 here in West LA. He spoke for about 90 minutes down there. It was great, great guy. Really enjoyed meeting him. Born to Run by Christopher McDougall is a great read. It's very inspiring to think about what we can do with our feet when we get the shoes out of the way. And he talks about the history of the tribal runners in Mexico and some of the other tribal runners and the lack of injuries that they have and the enjoyment they have in their running when the shoes get out of the way. Chi Running by Danny Dreyer was one of the first books I read that got me thinking that we need to run with a different style and not be hitting our heel in the ground so hard. And there's some other clinical books out there, like Fixing Your Feet by John Bonhoeff is an excellent resource if you're going to do like ultra running and military applications. If you've got foot trauma issues, you know, severe blistering, things like that, John's book is an absolute must in your library. And then I've gotten into Dr. William Rossi, a doctor of podiatry that passed away a few years ago, and he was just an amazing source for me. Basically, Kevin, as you know, he's like the Jack O'Lane of foot fitness, or was.
Yeah.
And so there, you know, but all that in the last 10 years of working with people in their feet and doing some graduate work on balance for seniors and foot exercises for them led me to the point where I thought I needed to put all this together in one source for the everyday person that just wants to learn about their feet and get started. And that's what the workbook's all about. And I really hope that it's going to help people. And it's going to follow the Lean Bray, you know, credo, or we just want to get people moving, right? And I think it has I think it's going to help with that. So you can get it off my website. I'll put a link up on the Lean Bray site too, just so people can find it. But you got anything else, Kevin?
Yeah, I just got a couple things I want to close out with. When I went to barefoot running, I noticed that the lethargicness and pain that I would feel in my legs, calves and quads and everything, disappeared immediately. So, for example, when I run with fluffy shoes on and I do a cardio workout, I do like interval training, that's what I always do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the day, I'd be shot. I'd get up off a chair, my legs would be like, oh, they'd be sore and they'd be tight, and I'd be like skimping around the house and I could barely move the rest of the day, I'd be wiped out.
Mm.
As soon as I started going barefoot, all that pain disappeared. All the lethargy gone.
That's
I have a little bit of tightness in the calves, and that's it. No more pain, nothing, ever since. My feet have felt great. My ankles have felt great. My knees have felt great. It's amazing. It's almost like I've become a more efficient runner. Like before, I felt like I was running sloppy or something.
Hey, maybe
but after going barefoot, all the pain was gone.
Maybe this barefoot running fitness stuff would cure that restless leg syndrome stuff. You know,
I never thought of it. Maybe
that would not be agreeable to the drug companies that are selling all the medications for restless leg syndrome.
No, but now that you mentioned it, I got to find somebody who has, I actually know someone back in PA that had that. I'm going to try to get them to run barefoot and see if it cures it. Because I'd be dying to know if I could find it. If I find out this running barefoot cures restless leg syndrome, we're on to something, bro. Big time.
Well, there's so many success stories with people when their shoes get out of the way, their feet, and their feet turn on again. I mean, we could go on for another hour just about the things that we've seen with our clients and our friends and family.
Yeah. And I'd also like to mention, RJ touched on it briefly about it, someone he knew that went to Vibrams, I think, or barefoot, and their time slowed way down. Well, as Michael Sandler says a lot in his book, and I'm going to second this, and you're probably going to third it, RJ, is one simple statement. It is drop the ego. When you go barefoot running, you will have to slow down. You will have to stop at times. You'll have to walk at times and so on and so forth to get through a rough patch
mm-hmm.
until your feet get adapted, and that's totally fine. Barefoot running is not about breaking world speed records. It's about getting in better overall condition and then slowly, gradually increasing your speed once you get the technique down and once your feet have adapted to the being bare.
Right.
So drop the ego. Don't worry about speed. Just worry about getting technique down first. The speed will come eventually. And when you have that attitude, it's a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, it's very childlike. What I've noticed is I just kind of enjoy each stride now instead of worrying about how many minutes per mile I'm doing. And if you do get into it at the highest level, like somebody like Michael Sandler, you'll find that those people are flying by the runners with shoes, and they're barefoot, and they're running through the snow and the ice and the desert and everything else. So the speed can happen, but it's not going to happen overnight, like Kevin said. You have to give it some time.
Absolutely.
But it can be childlike and fun, and there's a lot of validity to it. There's a lot of science behind it. The physics are there. Over time, you'll spend less money on injuries fancy shoes that are probably making things worse. And one last closing point, when you get your skin in the ground and you're running barefoot, you pay attention to where you're going. So for the people saying, well, you're going to stub your toe, well, guess what? You really watch where you're going. With a big clonker shoe on, you don't pay attention as much. But when my feet are bare, I'm really careful where I put it down, you know? So that's one of the things. You get more in the moment and you get more attentive to what's going on, for sure.
Yeah. And I feel that along those lines, it creates not only more, you know, you get the physical benefits, but you create mental strength as well, because you do have to be in the zone. You got to concentrate. You don't have time to think about your ex-girlfriend that screws you over, or, you know, your boss is a jerk, or any of that kind of crap when you're out there barefoot running. You need to focus up and pay attention to where your feet are going, because if you step on a rock or a pebble or a shard of glass, you're going to know it in a split second. And believe me, I was running out when I first got back into Park City here in December. I went out for a barefoot run because it was a nice sunny day, and today is too, and I may actually go out again. But I was chugging along the sidewalk, and the next thing I know, I stepped on a batch of rock salt. And let me tell you right now, rock salt is not your friend when it comes to barefoot running. Michael Sandler talks about it in his book, and he mentions how it is like a meat tenderizer.
Yeah.
And believe you me, I put one foot on it, and my left foot did not hit the floor. I leaped the left out onto a blacktop road. Luckily, no one was coming, to avoid stepping on it again, because it just took that one step.
Wow.
Because it just felt like, it felt like I got shot in the bottom of the foot with buckshot. RJ, that's what it felt like.
Wow. Well, that's a good tip, and you can get more details on Sandler's book. And again, if you want to hit up My Foot Fitness stuff, I'll put a little link in the Lean Brace somewhere. But you can go to ronjones.org and hit the Foot Fitness button on the left, and my workbook icon is floating up in the homepage right now too. If you want to get health from the ground up, my new workbook, it'll be in the Kindle library soon, and the iPad, and all the other digital formats. So thanks a lot, man. And good luck with your foot fitness from the Lean Berets. And keep moving, because that's the main message, right? Keep moving.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Lean Berets Radio Show at theleanberets.com. Music today provided by Van Halen. Until next time, keep your foot on the accelerator for health and rock on.